This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. Today, inshallah, we'll do something different. As most of you are aware, I'm speaking to those that are visiting. I know some of you are visiting from outside. Generally, we talk about, obviously, yani Quran, Seerah, something from our tradition. Once in a while, I think it is useful to mention a fact that is related to our history as an ummah, but not necessarily straight from our texts. And as you know, in the last 2 years, I have sometimes given issues of psychology, issues of sociology, things of benefit. And by the way, footnote here, this is sunnah. Our Prophet ﷺ, it is reported in Sahih Bukhari, that many times after Salah, the Sahaba would speak of the days of Jahiliyyah, the wars of Jahiliyyah, they would even recite the poetry. So to have beneficial knowledge in the masjid is something that is a part of our tradition. And so today, inshallah, I want to go into a tangent, which is going to be especially useful to those who are engaged in dialogue with people of outside of our community or in trying to understand the media and current affairs. My talk today is going to be about one of the most interesting books written in the last 100 years in Western academia. It is considered to be one of the 10 most important books that revolutionized Western academia, written by a non-Muslim, an Arab Christian by the name of Edward Said. Edward Said. This is a figure that anybody who's involved in understanding modern politics and modern media should be aware of. A little bit about this person and why we're talking about him in today's khatira, because it is a very interesting topic. Edward Said comes from a Christian Palestinian family, and he was raised in very elite schools in Palestine and in Cairo back in the 40s and 50s. His father was wealthy, managed to send him to America as a teenager, so he was one of the first Arabs to graduate from Princeton and then Harvard back in the 50s. And he had a PhD in English literature, like some field that is not related to us, right? So he became a professor in Columbia. So he's Ivy League entire way, professor in Columbia, English literature. But he is Palestinian, he's Arab. Of course, he's Christian, but he's Arab. And he sees what's happening in this country. And he sees the news media and the analysis about how they portray Islam and how they talk about Palestine and how they portray the Arabs. And so even though his PhD is in linguistics and in literature, he writes a book that literally shook the world of academia. It is said that hardly any book impacted universities as much as this book did in the last century. And it's a book called Orientalism. You should all be aware of this. Today's khatir is about this book. Orientalism by Edward Said, published in 1978. The impact of this book is beyond what I can mention in a khatira. It literally destroyed an entire field called Orientalist studies, and it created multiple different fields, such as postmodernism, post-colonialism. Post-colonialist studies is a new field. You can get a PhD in post-colonial studies. This entire discipline was created as a result of this book, one book. The book deals with us as an ummah. That's why we're talking about it. It's about us. It's about the Muslim world. Written by a non-Muslim, but because he's born and raised amongst Muslims, and because he's Arab, because he's Palestinian, the book that he wrote was an amazing work that still has an impact to this day. This book itself has been the subject of multiple PhDs. The book itself is the subject of multiple dissertations, and it is an accessible book. It's not a very difficult, advanced, abstract book. It's one that any educated person can read. You can buy it on Amazon, Orientalism. By the way, before this point in time, Islamic studies programs were called Orientalist studies. And the person who studied Islamic studies was called an Orientalist. Okay? This was the term, Orientalism and Orientalist. This book demolished the term. Nobody uses it anymore. This book demolished the Department of Oriental Studies. Now it's called Department of Islamic Studies because of this book. Department of Islamic Studies. Nobody wants to use the term Orientalist anymore because this book devastatingly critiqued the concept of Orientalism. In a nutshell, and I'm being a little bit obviously off the cuff, I haven't prepared for this, and obviously has to be simplistic for, we're not doing an advanced topic, it's a very simple talk here. In a nutshell, Edward Said created multiple disciplines by sifting together topics of psychology, of colonialism, of literary theory, of power dynamics, and he demonstrated, this is now the key point, that when people from America and Europe talk about Islam and the Arab world and the Muslim world, they are not coming from a place of neutrality. On the contrary, there's a deep psychological reality, a bias that they're not even willing to acknowledge. And as they write about us as the Muslim community, they stereotype and caricature us in the most basest of fashions. They generalize. He goes, firstly, there is no such thing as Oriental. Chinese and Malay are totally different. Pakistani and, you know, somebody from the Middle East are not the same. But this construction of everybody of brown skin is Oriental. It is done in order to stereotype and in order to, another point he says, to actually accuse the enemy of what you yourself are guilty of. This is one of the key points of Orientalism. He demonstrated that, in fact, America, Europe, and the academics of this country and this nation, usually they themselves are guilty of certain ideas and they blame the Muslim world for those ideas as a psychological tactic to get the blame off of them. And he mentions two things in the book that I can mention here, that more than mentioned. Number one, he goes sensuality. Now, if you look at any movie, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, about Arabs in the Middle East, right? There's always some harem, you know, there's always some, you know, lady. Well, you get my point here, very fahisha and whatnot. And he goes, which society has more fahisha? Which society has, you're accusing the Muslim world of these things, which of the two is the producer of evil and fahisha and filth? And then, and he said this before 9/11, violence. The stereotype of the Arab terrorist throughout the 70s and 80s, the stereotype even in the cartoons of Arabs being, Muslims being associated with terrorism and violence, right? And in reality, in human history, which civilization has been the most invading, the most colonizing, the most bombing of other nations? Which societies have killed more people, West or East? So he says, by accusing them of what we are guilty of, he's calling himself a Western here, by accusing the Orientals of what we are guilty of, it's actually making us feel we're not guilty of anything. Those are the real evil people, right? So there's this notion, therefore, of taking your own faults and accusing your enemies of having those faults so that your faults appear without any fault. You understand this point, right? Another point that he writes here, which is a very profound point. He says, when these academic thinkers write their dissertations, their papers, even the movies and literature, they're not writing it from a vacuum. They are benefiting from a system of oppression, colonialism. And their stereotypes play in to validating colonization. When you claim that the Orient is backward and we are civilized, when you claim that Muslims are, you know, not able to be democratic, so we must be the democratic invaders, you perpetuate stereotypes that are able to be used by politicians, by culture, to then commit crimes against humanity, invade, bomb. You, oh academics, are not neutral. You are tools of imperialism, even if you don't recognize it. And this is a very serious charge, if you understand, right? Because academics, they love to say, we are neutral, we are not involved with the government. And he says, no, by default, you are not writing from a vacuum, you're writing from a power differential. You are a superior in terms of GDP and bombs and whatnot. When you caricature that level of people and societies, you are perpetuating the crimes of your own people. You are sugarcoating, you are whitewashing, and you become a part of the apparatus that you so willingly claim you're not a part of, okay? Those of you who understand what's going on with the CRT issues, the black and white, these are all predating. Edward Said's mind is thinking along those lines 30 years before what we are seeing right now of the woke culture, right? So Edward Said comes with this devastating book, And as I said, the book literally caused like an academic, you know, avalanche within the communities, because he did a very thorough study of some of the biggest names. His main nemesis was one of the worst neocons who eventually joined George Bush's war on Iraq, the worst academic of the other side, Bernard Lewis, if you know his name. So after 9/11, he wrote an article that went viral, okay? Why do the Muslims hate us so much? And in the article, and I kid you not, literally, I'll summarize it in one sentence. They hate us because we're so good, literally. That's why 9/11 happened. Forget any, I'm not, obviously we don't justify it, but no politics, nothing. They are evil because we are so good. We're angels, they become devils. This is Bernard Lewis. Bernard Lewis and Edward Said were complete at odds with one another. And in lifetime, and even up until that's like their obituary, so very harsh enemies, because he quoted Bernard Lewis multiple times as the quintessential example of this type of person. And by the way, the irony of ironies, Bernard Lewis actually joined the neocon cabal after 9/11. Literally, the book came out in 1978. And Bernard Lewis said, I'm not a politician, I don't have anything to do with politics. And after 9/11, he actually visited George Bush in the White House. He instructed George Bush about words to use. He wrote articles that justified Iraq's invasion. Literally what Edward Said had predicted back in 1978, that person became. Because of this book, as I said, Orientalism became a taboo word. Nobody calls himself Orientalist anymore, because he mentioned and he proved that the notion of studying the East as you are a Westerner is not neutral. You are a part of the apparatus that kills and rapes and plunders and loots. And when you perpetuate these crude stereotypes, when you portray the Muslim world as backward and us as civilized, then when your country's bombed, your peoples understand, okay, we are the better people. Your people overlook what your governments are doing. So you are an accessory to mass murder. Obviously, nobody likes that accusation. The entire name was eliminated. Departments changed. So he also pointed out, by the way, a fact, and I will testify to this fact myself in my own studies and whatnot. Up until the 70s and 80s, the only people who would study in these departments were Caucasian people. If you were Arab or Middle Eastern or Muslim or brown skin, you would not get admitted to the program. The assumption would be you're not qualified to study yourself. Only we can study you. He pointed out this hypocrisy. Because of this book, active recruitment began that we should bring in some Middle Easterners and some whatnot. So when I applied to my PhD program, I was one of the very, very few people in that time frame that was an openly practicing Muslim doing a PhD in Islamic studies. The default was that people doing PhD in Islamic studies are not Muslim, much less practicing. It was very rare, it still is very rare, to find somebody like this. Because Edward Said pointed it out, they opened door a little bit, but still the door remains just a small amount of opening. Also, as I said, he began an entire discipline of literary studies and of history. This discipline is called post-colonialist studies. This discipline, you can now have an undergraduate degree in it or a PhD in it. What is this discipline? This discipline seeks to examine the relationship between the colonized and the colonizer. Because, and this is a very deep topic, those countries that have broken away from colonization, that's all of our countries, by the way, right? Our identities, whether we like it or not, are shaped by whom? The colonizer, okay? Our identities, even as we broke away, we cannot help but be shaped by the very countries that we broke away from. The classic example, our own home countries of India, Pakistan. What is the national language of India that the parliament itself speaks in? English. English is a national language. Right? And almost every educated Pakistani speaks English and Bengali speaks English. How? Why? Where did that happen? Our own construct of what it means, Pakistan, India itself comes from colonization, as we're aware, right? Not to get too controversial, but it's a reality. So he brings up this topic. Can you even have an identity without the other? So he goes down this very philosophical notion of looking at literature and of, you know, movies and of the rhetoric between nations. In any case, summary of it all. These types of books and these types of disciplines, even though he was not a Muslim, it really benefited the Ummah very much. And our Prophet ﷺ said, sometimes Allah helps this Ummah with a rajul kafir. So hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِرَجُلِ الْكَافِرِ. And these types of people, had they been Muslim, their books would not have been given much credit. It was Allah's hikmah actually. The fact that he's a Christian, and he's writing in a discipline that's not really, you know, he became famous because of this book, by the way. This book literally made him a world household name in academia, and he died right after 9/11. He died 20-something years, right after, a year or two after 9/11, he passed away. And he wrote things about 9/11 as well, by the way, that you should read. So this book is actually a very useful introduction to the mentality of those people who study Islam and we used to call themselves Orientalists. I wanted to introduce this book, the author, and the topic to you. Inshallah ta'ala, if you're interested, you can read summaries online or buy the book. Believe it or not, it's a very easy read. It was meant for anybody who's interested in this notion. You will find, inshallah, of use and interest. Next time, inshallah, we'll do a more standard mainstream lecture. Don't worry. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب.